Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
You know, again, we're pretty comfortable with our group right now. Obviously, we're going to look to upgrade on the offensive line or at any position if we feel like we can. We're going to try to carry the best 53, whoever those guys are.
That's the Wolf, Elliot Wolf from August. Upgrading line left and right. Best roster you could possibly assemble as you're doing. Executive Vice President of Player Personnel after a couple year run as Director of Scouting.
Right. So I'm looking at, so he is basically in between you and me. He's 42.
Yep.
And let's look at the 2022 NFL draft for the Patriots. What do you think?
2022 draft. Is this the first
one?
Draft?
His first one. Yep. That would be Cole Strange.
Come on. That's Bills. That's Bills guy all the way.
Not to mention that year was the opportunity where, so you make a trade with the Kansas City Chiefs. Who then take O.J. McDuffie, who is one of the best corners in the league right now. You take Cole Strange.
That could be a good fullback.
I believe, was that the year of the Tyreek Hill trade?
I think it was, because he's been there 3 years in Miami, right?
Let's see. Anyway, can you find the information, Joe, of the Tyreek Hill trade? So I believe.
But right, you're right. If you hold Wolf responsible for 2022. That's the Strange Tyquan Thornton draft, isn't it?
Right.
Oh.
So, you know,
Marcus Jones is okay.
I mean, in what world do you trust this guy?
Right. Well, right. That's fair point.
And you know what happened? And swinging a miss by me, the departure of Bill Belichick, yes, got rid of some of the, you know, dysfunction, I guess, but not obviously much considering what they're doing right now. But it empowered further the Crafts. You know why I know that? Because everybody in the Patriots organization told me it didn't. If you're that dead set on getting a message out there, and I don't begrudge anybody doing work for the people they work for, but of course Jonathan Kraft has a bigger role. Of course Robert Kraft does. It was a battle between Bill and Robert. And specifically, Jonathan.
And we believe Kraft had a role even when Bill was here. To some extent, of pushing him toward back.
What was the single thing that Robert Kraft did that was to Bill what Judge and Patricia was to Mac?
Making him take Mac? I don't know. Well,
Gerard Mayo.
Oh, Gerard Mayo as the coach in waiting.
Right.
Okay, here are the details from March of 22. That's when the deal was made. Chiefs trade Tyreek, 2022 first rounder, number 29. Second round pick, number 50, fourth rounder of that year, and then a fourth and sixth rounder in the following year, in 23.
And then the Patriots traded, so that was before the draft.
Right.
Okay, there we go. That pick was initially property of the Dolphins. So it's Cole Strange and what else? So outside of that pick, what was the rest of the deal?
It was a second rounder later on in that draft, which was number 50.
All right, let's see. 50, that would be, so it was Cole Strange, Tyquan Thornton. Oh, my God. For Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, well.
Cole Strange and Tyquan Thornton would have yielded you Tyreek Hill.
And the money they paid him. Which.
Oh, my God. Maybe, you know, the Audrain Car Festival wouldn't have one of Kraft's, you know, Bentleys. I mean, my God. So it was the 50th and the 29th pick for Tyreek Hill?
Yes, and then additional fourth rounders from both this year and next year.
I mean, what? Oh,
is Tyreek going to light him up tomorrow?
They
still have Tyreek and Waddle. I mean, I don't know how.
Oh my God! Think about how much would have been different.
Well, I mean, at that point, there's a lot going on.
We wasted our time watching him, thinking he'd be at 104, maybe. That's where they were mocked openly by Sean McVay.
Cole Strange and Tyquan Thornton.
Is that rock bottom when McVay is ripping your draft selection and he turns out to be so right? It is laughable.
You know? That's the thing is, so what you and I mistake, and I'm equally guilty in this, is that I look back at the Patriots teams, like 2014, that was an effing wagon, right? You got Revis, you got Brady, you got Edelman in his prime, you got Gronk in his prime. I mean, that was a great football team.
Those are the days when they brought in mercenaries like Revis for a year.
Right. Win a Super Bowl and go back.
Win a Super Bowl.
But that's not the NFL today. I mean, it is mediocre. Even the Chiefs. I mean, do you now agree with me that if they didn't have Mahomes, they'd be a 5-win team?
Oh, a 5-win, but you're probably closer to right than wrong. I mean, he is so good.
And
it's just,
I mean, Mahomes and, you know, Andy Reid, but it's, to me, if you have a decent offense that can take care of the football, and you have a representative defense with Christian Gonzalez, who actually, I mean, that's the one interesting thing for me on Sunday, is seeing Tyreek Hill and Christian Gonzalez. That was very interesting. Yep. Sunday night of last year, yep. Week two.
Give Wolf credit for that pick.
Absolutely. And so I don't think you need this gigantic hall of talent. If the defense has more depth, which, by the way, a sneaky shot by Bill at trading Judon with the lack of pass
I
rush.
I heard that. No pass rush. And Barmore got hurt.
Right. But so if you have Barmore and you bring in someone else on defense and you bring in an offensive line and Drake May is good, you're a playoff team.
A lot of this. So back over to the quarterback, obviously. Don't you think?
Could you imagine that, though, if the Patriots took Tyquan Thornton and Cole Strange for what could have given them Tyreek Hill?
Mac might still be here.
That would if they
would have given Mac $200 million.
Could you imagine the Belichick Bobos if he got that trade, Cole Strange and Tyquan Thornton for Tyreek Hill?
And Belichick might still be here.
He would be.
I guess he would. He'd be riding it out in the sunset to a win.
And so would Bill O'Brien, which would be bad for BC.
Yeah, exactly. So it's all working out for you in the end.
Right.
But over to the quarterback. So obviously you've got in Washington a rookie quarterback who is starting to bloom and everybody there is thrilled and you found something. It's as exciting as it could possibly be, I bet you, right now for Commanders fans. But on the other side, you've got Caleb Williams sucking it up in Chicago. And you had last year Bryce go to Carolina and he's been benched in a year and 2 weeks. Is the pain of playing a rookie early and having them flop worse than the pain that Patriots fans are suffering now, which is not seeing the guy?
No, because
it's not.
No, because
if you're a Bears fan, aren't you like, I can't believe it. We blew it again. We just Trubisky'd again.
If you're paying the same amount of money, right? But in one avenue, it's paying off a mortgage so you own a home. And the other is it's just going to the landlord. The pain of the payment is mitigated by the understanding that it's going towards something that in the end will be very beneficial for you.
So
make sense?
So you think Caleb, it will turn out to be fine?
Yes, but even if it doesn't, you believe you're learning now about some. No, I'm serious, about what you would need to do in the future. If Drake May was awful, if Drake May was Ryan Leaf reincarnated, then we would sit here and say, okay, swing and a miss. We need to bring in a new, you know, college football director or whatever, college scout, and reevaluate the position. But now, if you wait until next season, and then let's say Drake May gets hurt in week three next year. So those 2 years, which Robert Kraft would probably be very angry about, the best deal in sports is a great quarterback on a rookie deal, you're out.
I mean, you're not out. I mean,
so if he gets injured in week three next year and he's done for the year.
Yeah.
So you've missed 2 years of 5-year window where you get him at the cheapest value.
You won't pay him until year four, right?
So you only get 2 years.
Okay.
That's the point.
Yeah, but they'll pay him at some point. They'll pay him on a first contract.
They could pay everybody. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what the value they love of having a rookie quarterback play.
Right. But they're hoping he's going to be Mahomes. I know you want to hear that. But by year two, when he's actually his first year playing, he's going to be ready to go
and
playing
well. I'm
going
to look at the offensive weaponry of the 2018
and by the way,
Chiefs.
The Laird plan here, the Mahomes plan, you should hold Drake May to a very high standard next year. The plan shouldn't be for him to take baby steps next year when he does play. I'm expecting them to step on the field with good people around them and actually win.
So,
contend for a playoff spot.
2018 Chiefs have Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins. They had Travis Kelce? Let's see.
What are your Chiefs?
2018.
Yeah, Kelsey was there.
There he is, right at the top. Hello. So you had Kelsey had 103 receptions, Tyreek Hill 97. They combined for 22 touchdown catches. We're not talking about a team with anywhere near any of that. You're not, I mean, he's not, Drake May is walking into a room that has Tyreek Hill on the TV, not at a locker next to him.
Right, so what's your point?
That it's going to be very difficult to do anything close to what Mahomes did in year two, well, but his first year.
By next year, you're taking Hunter or somebody in the first round, you're adding a significant free agent receiver. Right. I mean, you're packing.
He went in the door with two Hall of Fame weapons on offense. Two.
I mean, Hunter looks good to me. Would you take him right now?
No, they need to take a tackle. That's what they're going to do. They're going to take a left tackle at like 7 or 8 or 9 or 10.
Well, great. Then take a receiver in round two. And
they always do well with round two receivers.
I mean, it's better than throwing them out in front of this slot. 617-779-7937. John at Gardner. Hello, John.
Good morning, fellas. Thanks for taking the call. The phone good today, Kenny?
No.
Something about your phone, it like clips, it cuts out periodically.
I know. I'd explain the issue, but then you'd think I was even more of a dope than you already do.
No, it's the exact same issue. It sounds that way. Listen back to it. I'm serious.
Anyway, it's fine.
It still sounds bad?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Wait 1 second.
See,
is any better now?
Sure. I think so. Go for it. Go ahead.
I got a bone to pick with you, Curtis, about your criticism of Wolf. It's not harsh enough. Malpractice. I know they got this plan that nobody knows about, but you got to argue. You know, you got a kid that may be a franchise quarterback for the next 15 years, and you put this offensive line out there. I read in the paper 2 days ago they're not looking. Mayo said they're not looking for outside help. But in the big picture, you know what really worries me? I think the Patriots, the Crafts, are going after the baseball model where the GMs tell everything to the coach, and the coach is really just a figurehead for guys that aren't established. And everything's coming down from up top, from the Crafts, the Wolf, and then down to Mayo. So it really worries me that they're going down this road, and I think that is what they're doing. What do you guys think?
All right, John, that's a little better.
Yeah.
By the way, John, we met John in person at one of the road shows or an event.
Worcester.
He has a perfect head of hair. The phone is far from perfect. Head of hair, perfect.
Well coiffed.
Silver fox. Anyway, go ahead. What do you think of his assessment? GM is just a puppet.
I agree. I mean,
so Kraft's making these picks?
I don't think Robert Kraft goes, you know, Elliott, we're taking this guy at number 14. There is a budget that Kraft has him live under, and they are gun-shy after the 2001 offseason of spending.
Right. By the way, Jonnu Smith coming back tomorrow, our guy, who we both thought was a great
my preseason MVP.
Let's go to Steve in Fall River. Hello, Steve.
Hello. So, you've got problems here. Who needed Sean McVay to laugh at Cole Strait? The fact that he took a god at 32, he should have been laughed at, because we have a god now on the Kansas City Chiefs, who was picked by us in the fourth round. History tells us you can get god. You can get gods anywhere. I'm driving on Route 195 here in Fall River. I can see one on the side of the road broken down and bring him to the stadium.
I would say, Steve, the decision of Belichick to go after Isaiah Wynn, Cole Strange, and the decision that he made, which Ken actually for once actually finally said, I have no defense of it. Instead of signing Joe Tooney to a long-term extension in 2020 with Cam Newton, which they had him there, they franchised him.
Oh, that was so dumb.
And you couldn't have signed him.
I wouldn't have done either. No, I don't want to pay the highest money to a guy. I want to draft the next Joe Tooney. You should be able to get not Joe Tooney quality, but you should be able to get Shaq Mason quality. Joe, the highest paid god, you should be able to get between him and Shaq Mason at every other draft. You should be getting your offensive line through the draft.
Well, they are. City So is fourth round pick last year. He's starting when he's healthy. Leighton Robinson's fourth round pick. He's your starting center. They signed on Wenyu. He was a fourth round pick, wasn't he? Sixth round pick. And he's your starting tackle. So they've done that. It's just they haven't hit on all of them.
But I understand that we have all been trained to believe in the NFL salary cap, and this is not, I'm not going on a diatribe about that. In today's NFL, minus a few exceptions, and I will allow for the quarterback market is getting to be, you know, you're going to look like NBA-style deals for the top quarterbacks in the NFL. That's just, you know, Mahomes is going to be next, and he deserves every penny. But when you have a lineman or a other player on the roster that is Pro Bowl, All-Pro caliber, you keep them. You don't need to try out the next guy.
Right.
You need as many quality players as you can find and then add. And what the Patriots have done since the offseason of drafting Mac Jones, bringing in Hunter Henry, spending $250 million in free agency, is replace or seek to replace instead of building from where you were. And it all goes back to me, to Robert Kraft at the Breakers owners meetings, talking about it's been a while since we won a playoff game. All they've done, instead of improving the roster, is lower expectations.
But I'm telling you, it could pay off next year. And they have done it right if Drake May is still the guy and they wait till the right time to play him. For instance, the Cleveland Browns took Joe Thomas, third overall pick in the draft, tried to build with the tackle first. And instead he was there and was a great tackle for 15 years and they never got the quarterback.
Right.
You have, might have the quarterback, you just need the tackle. And it's easier, to Steve's point, to find that somewhere else.
Right.
Find a couple for next year. Anyway, 617-779-7937. This is the Ken and Curtis Show. Here is Joe M. Braverman and What's Trending.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is there a chance that this ends in a trade, or do you see this getting wrapped up fairly soon?
I think highly unlikely. I would think this weekend it gets wrapped up. I don't think it'll end up in a trade. Again, you never know how firm the Bruins are in this situation and where the price point is for Swain. I don't think he wants to start to sacrifice paychecks. Again, these, I don't think this is a difficult negotiation because they kind of both need each other in the end, and those tend to be the easier ones. I think it should be taken care of this weekend. They're too close, as you said, and it just makes the most sense. Whether or not he starts in time for Tuesday, probably not. That probably is a little too quick. But, yeah, I think it gets done this weekend. I really do.
That is John Buchagras from ESPN. Bucci on the ECLNS podcast of some note. Thank you, Joe. So Bucci thinks it gets done. Just talking about Jeremy Swayman. Get off the Pats here for a minute. We'll get back to that. I know some people want to weigh in on the Pats plan, et cetera, et cetera. But the Swayman stuff was an interesting debate all week, Curtis. You guys even dove in elbow deep on your show. A lot of drama there. Very interesting quotes from Cam Neely, of course, at the press conference. And then the, did they offer him $64 million? Did they not? We had the agent, Lewis Gross, coming back at them. So there is a deadline Monday, 5 o'clock. Frank Saravalli, who writes for Daily Faceoff and has been a reporter for some time.
It's a great site.
That is a great site. He put an article out. It's very interesting. So basically, every team's got to put their opening roster out Monday at 5 o'clock. Swayman is a restricted free agent. If he's not signed, the salary cap hit for year one of the deal will be higher on the Bruins cap than the remaining years, and it goes up for every week that he's not signed for. So basically, if he signs by Monday at 5 o'clock and they offer him $64 million and he takes it, the cap hits $8 million. If he doesn't sign until December 1st, their cap hit this year is $10 million, which means a lot in the NHL with the hard cap and
right,
everything else. If Swayman starts losing money and doesn't sign until December, he could lose up to $2.2 million this year because whatever he signs for is prorated. So he'll actually start losing checks, not get paid, and lose up to $2.5 million by waiting a couple months. So
I have a couple points of view on this. One, the Swayman goalie situation is unique because goalies are just different. You like Tuukka's an odd duck. Tim Thomas, we all well established. And there is a feeling I get like those guys, remember Logan Mankins and how Bill just kept trying to grind him and everybody else took the deals and finally Bill just traded him to Tampa Bay. Like I don't think losing $2 million is weighing on Jeremy Swayman. I believe this is a guy that was not properly prepped and vetted, and the organization did a poor job at understanding how he would react to last year's arbitration settlement and the hearing where the Bruins do what all teams do, which is to point out the flaws and explain why you're not worth the number you're worth, but the number that they're offering.
That's hard to believe, though, that they wouldn't know this guy, what he's like around the office, that he's quirky like a goalie, as you say.
The behavior of Cam Neely, and I know Greg and Wiggy and others have disagreed with me, was the behavior of a guy that lost leverage and his player is not doing what he wants him to do.
Yeah.
And it was a public tantrum. Usually
which
reserved,
he's done before in the booth, throwing that cup across the...
usually reserved for, you know, the player in the middle of a negotiation, a la, you know, Antonio Brown or, you know, Manny Ramirez or someone like that. And the second I saw that, if I'm Jeremy Swayman, I sit back and I laugh. I say, they're doing this to try and embarrass me back to the team when that's the reason we have separation to begin with. I would rather make less money for another team than to sign for the deal they want me at. And I, you know, I'm not judging it either way, but it's amazing to me. And the other thing is that, you know, Greg and others who defend the organization say, well, Swayman's been given bad information. He's been leaking stuff. The organization all along discussed this as if it was a fait accompli. Andrew Raycroft, who, you know, obviously a goalie for the Bruins, great analyst, one of the, you know, had to be in here the day the world ended. That was an awkward morning. But other than that, you know, he was saying basically that it's over. Like, whenever we'd ask, he'd be like, oh, that's fine. It'll get it done. And the Bruins used the same approach. And I understand negotiations somewhat, not on this level, but you don't have to go that low with the first offer. I will never understand that. I recognize that. I am not in sales. I am not someone who deals with the free market like this on a day-to-day basis.
Right. They did insult him out of the gate.
So why?
Reportedly.
What's the upside
reportedly.
Of that? I don't get it.
Well, they obviously were trying to meet in the middle.
No, but I'm talking
about $64 million. They thought that would get it done.
But there's a thought that you'll say yes. Otherwise, why would you offer it?
Yeah, you're right, though. They should just come out and say, look, this is our best offer. We're not playing games here.
But they're the ones that are playing games.
Right.
Always look for the side that has the most the most chaotic reaction to behavior. That's the side that was caught off guard and is unprepared.
Yeah, but Swayman's also talking, and I don't know if he's chaotic, but he's been quoted as, you know, going back Maine business school and everything else, and they insulted me and check. And
listen, when it comes to, you
he's
know,
definitely odd.
Business acumen, I would trust Cam Neely over Jeremy Swayman. But when it comes to actually what Bruins fans care about, which is who's our goalie and when's he getting on the ice, what Cam Neely did at that press conference was something that delayed that eventuality.
But Swayman does have the leverage. I mean, to watch Corposalo give up 4 goals, I know it's exhibition, but fine. But you're going to go into the season with this. You already traded Linus. Fans will get restless with every loss. Every goal that goes in that looks shaky, they'd be like, get this effing done. Why did you lowball the guy, to your point? So Swayman does have the leverage.
And now that the Bruins sit alone as the longest droughted championship Boston team,
ooh,
I don't think the way that Cam carries himself will resonate the same way.
I have 64 million reasons why I'd be playing right now.
And didn't that was
by the way, in this Saravalli report, he puts in there, he can confirm that $64 million has now been offered. Whether it was before or after that news conference, he doesn't know. But at least now that is on the table. So it is a true 8x8.
Do you know where that began?
What?
The so many millions of dollars to behave?
Oh, somebody else said that?
Terrell Owens has 25 million reasons to be alive.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Was it in the Aaron Judge? There was something Yankees where the Cashman put
this
that
predates it. I'm telling you, the etymology of it when the female agent or representative of Terrell Owens said that T.O. has 25 million reasons to be alive.
Yeah, it's not unheard of. People were like shocked. I've never heard this. I mean, I've heard it in sports, but it's not from the Bruins.
What is the saying, Ken? If you have the facts, pound the facts. If you don't have the facts, pound the table. Like, that's what Cam Neely is doing. He's pounding the table. He's mad that his...
He's mad. He's pissed.
He's throwing
his team.
The water cup at the table.
Right.
Yeah, he is. I mean, they could miss the playoffs for a bad first month. A team that's on the bubble to make the postseason. If they have shaky goaltending to start, after spending a lot in free agency, give him credit for that.
Right. Well, I mean,
you're a big Zadorov fan, and you've been watching him.
I mean, I got to tell you, I wish he was a little lighter with the puck, but
too heavy.
Oh, way too heavy.
He's one of those guys that just won't give it up at all. He's just.
I couldn't tell you what that means.
He puts that rubber right into the ice.
I would venture to guess 95% of the people that use those terms have no clue what they mean.
Heavy on the puck? Come on, you know what that means.
Oh my God, I just wish he was better of a two-lane guy. I mean, I'm not sure about filling in the crease with
two
those.
Gaffer.
Oh, you can go five technique.
Five technique. I love the five technique.
Can
you bounce over and play the three?
I'll never forget when I was at Rivers. The guy tells me, he's like, play the five technique. I'm like, what the hell is that? And then Coach Harper's like, you got to go to the inside eye of the tackle. And I was like, why didn't you just say that?
You got to know the verbiage.
Inside eye.
All right, so does it get done or not? Or do you think Swayman has the leverage, doesn't care about the money, sits it out until December?
He deeply cares about the money, but it's about, he views it as disrespect or respect. And they have reached the point of no return, from my perspective, where $64 million is now, he goes and says, okay. And I don't think the Bruins can go above $64 million now.
It'd be hard to.
So it's an impasse, and this is entirely.
They need a goalie somewhere to get injured. That's what they need.
But they need.
If Igor Shesterkin goes down on week one.
But you don't trade Linus until, especially, let's go over the chronology of this, right? First of all, I love Courtney. I love everybody that was about, they love being the goalie hug. I mean, can you just stop it? Nobody, it's just.
Well, speaking of Raycroft, he was one guy who spoke out on that early.
He was right.
He didn't like that. Not a goalie hug fan.
As Mr. Zielinski says in Tommy Boy, what the American public doesn't know is what makes them the American public. So the goalie hug was a joke, a fake, a fraud, perpetrated on the Boston sports fan, so I'm glad we all know that. Secondly, the chronology of their events, last year, there was an arbitration hearing prior to the 2023-24 NHL season, mm-hmm. where it got incredibly contentious between Jeremy Swayman and the organization. Ultimately, they agree, that's how those things, you know, come down. Did Swayman win? I don't even know who won or lost. Either
good
way.
Good question, I don't even know.
So they go through the regular season, have a great regular season. They get to the playoffs. They win a round, and Swayman is the
beat the Leafs.
The Leafs are mulch again, and they get through it despite Jack's calls, and they get to the second round of the NHL playoffs.
Jack's calls.
Now you have two goalies. You can only play one. It's clear Swayman's the guy of the future. He had a phenomenal run in the playoffs, ended too short, and instead of extending Swayman. Knowing what had just occurred, knowing that you had just publicly told the world he's your goalie,
yep.
because he played, what, 8 of 10 playoff games, whatever it was, you trade Linus before you come to an agreement with him. And the other thing was, last offseason, they could have done a 2-year arbitration agreement. They chose one. Another mistake by Cam Neely and Don Sweeney. So the reason they're behaving this way, I'm not saying it's right to not go to work and to not do your job or whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about the leverage because you know it, Ken. When a company has leverage, they use it against you. When you have leverage, you better use it because it's going to come back to bite you.
So you're pro-Swayman, hope he takes it through December or longer, whatever.
Or forces their hand to go up on $64 million.
And you don't mind about some of the odd things he said here recently?
Nobody looks good of a negotiation over millions of dollars. Nobody.
978 texter, if I were Swayman, I would say, I'll take the deal if you fire that moron Cam Neely.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think Cam will approve that.
Well, no, honestly, if I am Don Sweeney and you hear Cam say that, aren't you pissed at him? Because in the end, Sweeney's the one that gets judged for all this stuff.
But he works for Cam.
I guess, but like he's going to take the brunt of it. If Swayman doesn't sign, people are going to blame him. And that did not help matters.
Oh, of course not. But I don't. Well, it did. I mean, it hurt. It really did. I mean, I was kind of fighting against the stream defending Swayman this week on the Greg Hill Show. So I do think a lot of Bruins fans are mad at Swayman.
What the American public doesn't know is what makes them the American public. All right?
Thank you. Let's go to Jay in New Hampshire. Hello, Jay.
Hey, guys. Great show as always. Curtis, spot on again. It's time for Drake May.
Amen, Jay.
You know, what do you think?
I think we're bet. I mean, I feel like I'm watching BC football with Steve Adazio. I feel like I need to put my head into
Jay,
a blender.
You want to see Drake go out there and just run for his life? And it's not even going to be football. It's going to be like watching him play tag on a recess field.
I love tag.
No, I get what you're saying, Kenny.
You're
but,
it.
But it's like watching paint dry. Okay, it's very boring football.
Know,
people are falling asleep here.
Embrace the tank. Embrace the suck, huh? Jay. Tank. It's time to tank.
Ah, I can't say. We can't take this anymore. It's time to get Brady back. You know, God.
Ticket prices tomorrow, Curtis. Did you check in on?
Oh my God, $50. $50.
That's a lot of cash.
I mean, it's a gorgeous fall day.
Yeah, what's the forecast?
I don't know. Let me see here. Boston, oh, God, mid-60s, beautiful. Abundant sunshine.
You and John Curtis heading down for the...
I am not. I will be seeing my dad today, but not going to the game.
Not interested in the Drake May... But you could be there for the first time he gets in the fourth quarter.
Honestly, if they had that thing in the Seaport, I'd go all the time. Getting to Foxborough sucks, especially Monday mornings. God, does that suck. But I love it.
617-779-7977.
Go Eagles. Game day. Getting the look of the Eagles arriving at University of Virginia.
Big game for them.
Yeah.
They could be, theoretically, 6-1 maybe, looking at their schedule. Is it going to the Louisville game, 6-1?
Fun Curtis family fact. The University of Virginia, home to my uncle George Curtis, got his law degree at Chicago, got his doctorate in history paid for on the scholarships they give out at Oxford, that whole thing. No, a Rhodes Scholar.
Wow.
Brilliant man.
What happened to the rest of the family?
I was dropped.
Have you been to UVA?
Never.
Been to their campus?
My sister went and looked at it. She said it was different, very Southern, but beautiful.
They win today, though?
Yeah, they got it.
What's the spread? I know you can't get it around here, but...
I believe they are one-point dogs.
Ooh. So
why are they called the Wahoos? They have like 16 nicknames, Virginia.
Yeah, I don't know.
Cavaliers, Wahoos.
Bill O'Brien, every time he's on, I just marvel at how happy he is, how good his situation is.
Over under 51.5, UVA favored by 2.5.
2.5? Wow.
Oh, my God.
Tough spot for the Eagles.
The Sharps.
But don't you
know what I think we need? More McAfee. Sorry, go ahead.
You asked him whether he's like, or you guys were asking him if he's happy, basically, or you're expecting offers. But like, why would he go back somewhere else? He just experienced the worst year of his life last year.
Yeah.
Everything was a mess. Now he's God.
I don't want to get ahead of it because I've been heartbroken before. If he's here for 4 years and does a great job like he's been doing, I'll say thank you. Like, he doesn't owe us his life. What I would just say is, making $4 to $5 million a year at BC, there's going to be a new president. Father Leahy, thank goodness, is leaving. And so there will be maybe Charlie Baker, the next president of Boston College, and an understanding of the importance of sports. You don't have to become Alabama, but it's a great opportunity. He's a guy that is known as a QB whisperer. He's worked with the best coaches and the best quarterback in the history of the sport. And BC's always gotten linemen. Like, if he can do that and be, 7, 8, 9 wins a year and have a couple years pop where you get 10, 11, I mean, why not?
Two clips I want you to react to. We'll do a mini They Said It next. One is Sam Kennedy answering the question about the Celtics purchase this week. And the other is Van Pelt, who I don't think is really a major story or a player. He's gotten too much attention. But he did have an interesting exchange with Jones and Keefe. I don't know if you heard this yesterday.
I did not.
Which it's worth playing. So we'll have that for you next on Kenny Curtis.
Yeah, I don't see it to be appropriate to talk about the Celtics today, other than to say congrats on another world championship. But that's not on our radar right now.
Not on our radar right now was the phrase that Sam Kennedy used. I thought it was going to be a hard, really supporting Bradfoe's source. We're out. We never were interested. Never will be interested. That's very vague. So Fenway
Time
Sports
to take
Group,
the L there, Robert.
I don't know. I mean, that's why would he not squash it? I mean, if it's obvious they're still interested in some level then. So that's a bizarre Sam Kennedy quote from the postseason wrap-up.
But I understand it. I get it. We all have bosses. We all have to do certain things. But every year, how many times did I ask O'Halloran about the team shifting its approach to team building and roster building? And every time he'd say, Chris, I know the question, we haven't changed. They have. It's irrefutable, right? They've shifted. And then for Sam Kennedy to then be condescending to the fan base by blaming them for the behaviors of the owner that they don't understand, but they should better, even though the owner never speaks to them. And then you sit here, and they're clearly engaged in talks to buy the Celtics, or at least
They don't want to rule it out. I mean, I thought they were, but at least they're keeping the door open.
How many times have they had an opportunity to say, nope, you know, we wish Wick and his family nothing but the best. They've been great stewards of the great organization. Whoever gets the team is going to be very fortunate. Like, I find the whole, and then I saw Francona got a gig.
Why? I know. But there's no way he would have come back here. That's
with this ownership group, right? But just in a vacuum, you'd rather him over Cora, right?
No, not at this age. I like Cora. I think he still connects with the players.
How?
Most of them.
Do they, like, lose connection in the second half?
He's just engaged.
They still give him that deal if everything happens the way it did?
At the end of the year? That wasn't his fault. You know that was...
Ken, I'm just asking. I don't know whose fault
yes,
it was.
Yes, I'm still pro Cora.
That's so why are they good
Breslow,
in the first
bad
half?
Job. Breslow, horrible trade deadline. Miserable. Dreadful.
Who's going to be here longer, Breslow or Cora?
Cora. And Cora might have made some of those decisions. He was supposedly more collaborative with Breslow, so I can't say he didn't have a part in that. But they flopped. I mean, Cora wasn't good.
How many of these guys that I've been told about are going to actually be on the starting and the first on the opening day roster?
Roman Anthony, I think, starts the year.
In the center field.
Yeah, Meyer's not close. And then Teal, I don't know.
Meyer's not close.
I mean, he's coming off an injury. He's got like a shoulder thing or something. What's going on with him? Joe, you're on the podcast. What's the Marcelo Meyer injury?
He didn't play. Once he got promoted, he didn't play a single AAA game because I think it was a hip and a back issue.
Oh, good. So he's durable.
Well, I mean.
You know what the Red Sox are great at? Getting guys that get injured at shortstop.
Hey, but as long as they got one. If you got Roman Anthony and he really is the top prospect in baseball and he's there on game one as part of the new core, that's encouraging. Plus, baby Pedro. Oh, wait till he takes off next year. 617-779-7937. But the other cut of the week, so Van Pelt. I kind of feel bad for Van Pelt. He's just put in a no-win situation. He's not the best communicator, talker. He seems kind of serious, and he's trying to... What's he going to do, you know? But anyway, I did think it was interesting, this little exchange with Jones and Keefe. It got a little testy. Not testy, but see what you thought of his answer here to Keith's question about...
Is the bigger issue Jacoby Brissett not having enough time, or is it Jacoby Brissett not getting the ball out quick enough?
That's an odd question. I think it's a combination. There's times when we call three-step and we're still getting some hits on the quarterback, which we shouldn't. And the last week, the emphasis for us offensively was to get the ball out because of those issues. So it changes week to week, but I don't think it's a Jacoby thing. I think it's all of us together, 11 guys on the field. One guy misses, and it looks worse than it is. So there's good stuff going on, though. I'm really optimistic and happy with where I see this growth and development of this offense. We're doing some good things. It was a tough team on the road, and we fought all the way to the end to the last snap. Guys played hard. We're playing the right way. Our play style is where we need it to be. We just have to make plays.
He, for some reason, took offense, maybe that it was just directed at Jacoby. Is that what it was? That's an odd question. Because the Keith question was kind of like...
I think he said the better way to answer that, if I were Alex Van Pelt, would say that's a strange premise. Because you're working under a premise that it's always bad, and what's to blame for the bad play?
But then he also kept saying like they were getting it out quick because of Bosa. But they weren't really getting it out that quick. I don't know. It seemed like
that's an odd question.
I don't know. The interview started well, and then it got a little odd at the end. But again, Van Pelt is like, don't you agree, so low on the list of problems right now?
Yes. I mean, it's a the thing is that he's not going to be here, I don't think, next year, right? Alex Van Pelt.
Yeah, you could be right about that. They might need a refresh.
Right.
Which is another reason not to put Drake May in this.
It's an odd question.
Why even get him started with the coordinator's not going to be here?
Why play next year?
I like the tank plan. Don't break Drake. Let's go to... Going to go to Dave, but he's got the callback music. Let's go to Derek and Pepperell. Hello, Derek. All right, goodbye, Derek. Let's try Jack and Fenway. Hello, Jack.
Hey, good morning. Third time's the charm.
There we go.
Just about the Swayman. So actually, Curtis was listening ex post facto on the Odyssey app to the Greg Hill show. I was surprised you were the only one basically making an argument, because I totally agree with you. The Bruins organization, especially as of late, does not, in my opinion, have the resume or recent resume to possess any credibility in this situation. I mean, the way Cam Neely's acted is just, in my opinion, just unprofessional, first of all, and also incompetent in terms of, not having Swayman locked up before trading Ullmark. I mean, you could, there's a very good chance that you lose both of them. And I mean, that could really be a huge step back for the team as a whole, cost them a lot of wins. So I really don't have sympathy. As you were saying, I mean, if I'm Swayman, I'm looking at other teams, seeing if I can get some more money.
Don't you think, Jack and Curtis, that Neely's leverage here for Swayman is to get the players on his side? So he goes to Marsh and says, we offered this guy $8 million a year. You're getting paid, what, six? Can you believe he turned that down?
Yeah, but he loses that opportunity. The window to do that is not publicly. It's to go to tell the players to be the ones that are pressuring him. Don't do that gyrating press conference.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's, I mean, bringing it to the fan base. I mean, I think that move was more to garner sympathy with the fan base, which, again, if they were a more accomplished organization, maybe that could work. But at least for me, it's just, it, to me, it's just unprofessional. I don't appreciate the way they're going about things.
All right, Jack, thank you. Well, if Pucci's right and they get it done by Monday at 5, then this goes away, I guess, and then he comes in and they just smooth it over. And he's here for 8 years, so you'll forget about it six years from now.
You will absolutely forget about
they
it.
They seem like they're too close to not get it done, but unless the Bruins won't go above 64, just a hard no. That's it. No budge.
Honestly, if I'm the Bruins now, I see what this backup can do, Korpisalo.
You know, I saw a little bit of the Thursday game. It was not that great.
But, you know, goalie Bob takes time. That's the only way you get the leverage back.
What about Bussy?
I'm not ready for Bussy. Yeah. Gary's my favorite Bussy.
Gary Bussy.
You'd have to ask goalie Bob a little more.
It's the Ken and Curtis Show. 30 minutes left. BC football coming up at 11:30. By the way, Marsh is in for the preseason game. Going to get another game in. Wrapping up the preseason slate. That's today, right, Joe? And not a great college game, but baseball today. You're going to watch all four, aren't you?
I mean, just, Yankees play?
Yeah, they all play.
Oh, I love it. I love rooting. I feel like it's my childhood again, rooting against the
and that's
Yankees.
A marquee matchup now with Bobby Witt Jr. and Aaron Judge. A
hot take here at 10:56 on October 5th, the year of our Lord. Another Subway Series.
No, don't say that.
Hey, did the Mets win? Can I just one quick thing? If you're a national reporter for a professional league, like Ian Rappaport, for example,
yeah,
and you're unbiased, right, whatever, you're impartial, and then a sport you don't cover, you're like fanboying it. It just comes across as weird.
That seems like the norm these days.
But it's all, they do it now because it's cool. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm like you, fans. This is my team, LGM.
Is Rappaport doing that?
Oh, God. And it's like, everybody's like, oh, I love this team. It's like 5 minutes ago, you hated them. What
That's
are you talking
about? The Mike Greenberg.
Oh, he is the worst. God. Mike Greenberg.
Man, was I wrong about the Jets?
Mike Greenberg is like a sports fan regurgitated every cliche.
Does Adams go to the Jets? That could make a big difference.
I haven't been, not since Burrow beat Mahomes in the AFC title game in Kansas City. Or was it the title? I think that was. Yeah. Has a non-local regular season game piqued my fancy, like the Jets losing to Bo Nix last weekend.
And now they're in London tomorrow against the Vikings.
By the way, speaking of disingenuous, Aaron Rodgers blaming the media for their perceived slight with Robert Saleh when he said, yeah, or we could hold the players accountable.
That's good. I like a player with some leadership.
Jets are going to crash and burn tomorrow in jolly old England.
They will, maybe, but they will trade for Adams, and that might flip the whole thing around.
Devontae Adams has been on how many teams as the best player, and he's done bupkis.
Chemistry. He and Rodgers, chemistry, like you and I.
They need more Packers on the Jets. I mean, they only have 16 of them.
We'll be right back.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.